Good morning.
What happened to the shooting gallery here, huh? Just a quick administrative note. Lately, we've been getting a lot of visitors, and typically what that means is we're getting ready to get a couple new table leaders. Ken Yarbrough's here this morning. He's got an idea. He's been meeting with a bunch of friends from his church on Fridays, and he said, you know, could we meet over there? I said, by all means. So we're experimenting with that. I'm talking to a few guys who think that they may be in the, want to go into the training program. It's rather extensive. A couple of lunches and your battlefield commissions. But anyway, I want you to, just administratively, I want you to pray for that, because that's the key to our concept here. Now, we've lost it today on the time. I don't know how this has happened. So what I'm going to do, I'll take the 15 minutes here, but you're going to be late to the tables. Charlie, no offense, but with all the newcomers, and we just lost it on the time. So just relax. What we have to say today is very important, but we're not going to be on schedule. You new-timers, first-timers, the way it's supposed to work, I'm supposed to be starting to talk at 7:15, and by 7:30 you're at your tables, you're out at 8 o'clock. So we sort of lost it today a little bit here. Throughout history, the pattern, the consequences is always the same for men who yield themselves to the temptation of sexual immorality. The pattern is always the same. Disaster. Disaster. Samson and Delilah. If you want to go back a few thousand years, Samson and Delilah. What happened to him? The Philistines, when he finally yielded to Delilah, when he finally yielded to the temptation of sexual lust, passionate lust was so strong, he yielded and told her his secret. Philistines gouged his eyes out. And so he lost his sight, he lost his strength. Now he was finally somewhat vindicated when he was in the temple and he pushed the pillars down and all the Philistines died, but what did it cost him? Cost him his life. This week, incredible story on television of Frank Sinatra. It was very well done. Apparently with the full support of his first family, he yielded to the temptation of sexual lust and left his wife Nancy for a life of fame and fortune, Ava Gardner, Mia Farrow, and others. The story ended on television with Frank Sinatra by his father's bed in the hospital. And he asked his father, he says, very forlorn, he says, Pop, how did you do it? Meaning, how did you stay married so long to apparently a very difficult woman? And the father answers, incredible, this is an incredible thing. Father answers, he says, well, I didn't listen and I didn't talk. Now that's quite a price to pay, isn't it? to stay with one woman. But it seemed to me, and the playwright, the author was very clever here, that Frank was mystified by his father's fidelity, if not his morality. There was something in his father that Frank could never attain. He could never attain this. Frank could never have one woman as his companion for life. His true companion for life. We're going to come back to this throughout the next 10 minutes. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. First Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. We've been here for a few weeks. Okay, starting at verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. And we're just running start here, and then we'll go to our section today. It is God's will. It is God's will. You have any doubts? It's right here. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you be separate, different. That you should avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. And here's our thought for today. The Lord will punish men for all such sins as we have already solemnly told you. Today, we come to that part of Paul's teaching on sexual immorality that there is no perceived need for. Marketing is meeting perceived needs, isn't it? This is what always challenges me. Marketing is meeting perceived needs. Now, one of the ways we could lose our integrity here at the Friday Morning Men's Fellowship would be to take too many pages out of the marketing book and skip a passage like this one today for fear maybe you guys won't come back. Some of you may not come back after today. That's okay. There's nothing perceived about this need we address today. This is plain vanilla truth. It doesn't even have chocolate sprinkles on it. It's plain vanilla truth. The truth is that God always has and always will punish men for sins of sexual immorality. The scripture says here, the Lord will punish men for all such sins as we have already solemnly told you. Now, how will he punish you? How will he punish you? I have to do a parenthetical here for the next minute and a half. This letter is written to Christians. And I am speaking to you this morning as Christians. I want to remind you now, as Christians, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. For those that are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation. Talk about punishment now. The subject today is punishment. If you have accepted the awful death, the tortuous death of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins, if you have trusted Him, who He is, and what He has done, His person, He's God in the flesh, and His work is His work on the cross, then God's wrath has been, here's a good word, propitiated. That has been satisfied for your sins, including all of your sex sins. Justice is done. He took your punishment. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If you are in bondage to sexual lust, passionate lust, then you should question whether or not God has truly saved you. Because it's not consistent with eternal life. That sin has been paid for, and I might add, very dearly. Talking about punishment. Say the subject is punishment. Now, if you do not have eternal life, remember this, plain vanilla, the wrath of God still rests on you. Now, assuming for a moment, we're out of the parenthetical, assuming for a moment that you do have eternal life and you persist in sexual morality, which is unthinkable biblically. But assume it for a moment, and it does happen. Matter of fact, major Christian personalities around the country are falling left and right to sexual lust. Assume it for a moment, even though biblically it's unthinkable that a person who has been bought with this price by the death, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, would persist in sexual immorality. Assume it for a moment. How would God punish you? How would he punish you now? Because you're saved. Your sins have been forgiven. Past, present, and future. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. How would he punish you? Well, here's the bottom line. You would be robbed of the chance to be the man, the leader, that you were intended to be probably forever. If you are married and you are involved in any kind of sexual immorality, adultery, nudity, pornography, anything sexual outside of your marriage, any attempt to stimulate yourself or satisfy yourself outside of your marriage, here is the punishment. You will lose the opportunity to experience the companionship that God has ordained for a man and a woman in the married state. You are involved in a pageant if you're married. There's a pageant going on. You and your wife, if you're married, are a pageant. You just think of a parallel. You and your wife are in pageantry, and you're reflecting Christ's relationship with his church, the bride of Christ. And your little marriage, that little organism that you are responsible for, is a pageant of what Christ wants to be with his church. And what is his model? He wants to be one. One spiritually with us. One emotionally. One intellectually, one, in our case, physically with our wives, and that's a picture of the eventual consummation of us physically back with our Maker when Jesus Christ returns. It is an incredible call for a man to be married. And if you are diverted sexually outside of your marriage, you lose the opportunity to have the companionship in marriage, the oneness that God has designed for it. That's punishment. If you're single, if you're in the single state, and you should be where God has called you. Some are called to be single, some are called to be married. If you're single, obviously, you lose your oneness with the Lord. See, the Bible has given us two models of people that were in a perfect state. Adam, who was married, and Jesus, who was not married. Both totally human, both totally alive. Both total human beings. You don't have to be married to be a total person. If God has called you to that state of singleness, then if you were to get involved in fornication, which is sex outside of marriage, then you would lose that oneness with the Lord. And you will lose the opportunity, probably permanently, to bring your full self to your marriage partner if God calls you in that direction, and you will never experience fully what our ancestors used to call companionate aspect of marriage. You will never totally experience it. I think that's why we're having so many problems today with marriages. It's because of the activity premarily. I'm not an authority on it. It's just a feeling that I have. Your ability to be in a state of oneness with another woman when you do get married, will be always mitigated because of premarital sex. This is why, for hundreds of years here in the United States of America, parents who loved their children, brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, discouraged, forbid extramarital and premarital sex. They loved their children. They wanted the best for their children. Today we're timid to tell them the truth. We're timid because allow ourselves to be indoctrinated by the media. Our courts reflected this morality. Unfaithful husbands were punished by the law. They were punished by the law. Unfaithful husbands were punished by the law. They were punished by the law. Even Hollywood reflected biblical morality. Early in Frank Sinatra's career, they had moral clauses in his contract. We have come a long way. Bring it back, men. Bring it back. It's basic to productivity. If I were going to worry about productivity of the United States, this is where I'd start. The Bible always starts with morality as the basis for human productivity. It's the first line of defense for all human productivity on this planet. But we will either be part of the solution or we'll be part of the problem. Like I say, this is plain vanilla today. One of the ways we go about things for you new guys here at Houlihan's, we just take a passage of Scripture, we take it as it comes because it's God's Word. Okay, in summary, if you've been having trouble staying on the track morally, then today's message might help you. Maybe you need to be frightened into the grace of God by realizing that the Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and solemnly warned you. I hope that this message today kind of burns into our bones. I can't wait to take these tapes. One of the things I'm going to do over the holidays, I'm going to figure out a way to trick my boys into listening to these. I don't know how to do it. I might have to do it financially I think I've shared this with you. I'm burdened for this. Because I love my boys, and I see the temptations, and they get no encouragement. They're on these college campuses, and the people responsible for Christian training are irrelevant. They can't, it's a shame what we've allowed to have happen to our country, but if there's a mist in the pulpit, there'll be a fog in the pew. And these are the pulpits right here today. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Let's have prayer together. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of knowing the truth. Help us adjust to that truth. So many of us are in trouble in this area. But we cannot do it. You who calls us is faithful, and you will do it. Give us the strength in our inner man to one decision at a time, one transaction at a time, to work our way back to what you would have for us in the area of sexual morality. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.